I'm Karen Chan, and I am the director and narrator of the audiobook Peter Pan and Wendy by J.M. Barrie, produced by WOUB Public Radio. And the music you are listening to is by Timothy S. Clue. And he is my guest today. Welcome, Timothy.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you to be here. I can't tell you. We have been waiting. Well, you've been waiting 6 years to hear your music with this audiobook. I've been waiting 8 years to get it all set. And I have now a wonderful audio engineer, Adam Rich, who has been very, very supportive, along with the managing director of WOUB, Tom Hodson. And so they have encouraged me to continue my work to bring this to life. And I have you to thank for your gorgeous music, because your music has touched me in a way that I can't even explain. I get goosebumps. I just feel like pixie dust has spread all over me because you have created this music for me. And I want to thank you for being here. And I want to talk about, how did you do this? How did you create this? I asked for what? 10 to 15 seconds of intro and exit music, and maybe a few sound effects. And you gave me this glorious rendition, the symphony, that my heart is full. Tell me.
Well, first of all, thank you for the comment. It's always very rewarding for a composer to hear when their music is able to touch someone. The story of Peter Pan has always had a place in my heart as well. The perpetual youth and the innocence of childhood and the dreams and fantasies. When you asked for a Peter Pan soundtrack, I originally started it looking for small tidbits that I was going to do, but as often happens, the composition just starts speaking for itself, and I just go with it. It took me on that full journey. And I was hoping you wouldn't think it was too much.
Oh, too much. You came over to my house, I remember, and you said, well, I've got the CD now. And I said, okay, well, 15 to 20 seconds. We'll go out to lunch. That was 2010, I believe. When you came over and we put it in, I was just blown away. And I thought, oh my goodness, I have got to use every bit of this. And we have. I got to tell you, you have created 7 beautiful movements. And we are going to touch on each of those movements. Tell me, I know that you know this by heart. So the first movement is Come Away, Come Away. And I felt that it introduced us to Peter Pan and Wendy, and really in a spiritual awakening. It was full of innocence, and that was a Native American flute. Is that not right?
That is correct. I really enjoyed the Native American flute with the breathy sound of it. I always thought that this would be something that Peter Pan would be playing, something very wooden, something where it would be very organic, something also between here and something mythical. I always pictured that he would just almost appear in Wendy's window, as if he just appeared out of nothingness. And the fact that the strings that precede this are supposed to represent the moonbeams in the window. And that's what I pictured with it.
Which brings us to the second movement, Straight On Till Morning. I mean, It opens up to the possibilities of this daring adventure. And you have layered piano chords crescendoing, and just the excitement of what it's like to have pixie dust all over you. And you can imagine my three characters. Four, Peter, Wendy, John, and Michael flying. Can't you see them? I can.
In fact, Barry described the adventure as even flying over the ocean at times, and it was a very high adventure for the characters, and I tried to pull out the energy, the exhilaration that they would be feeling.
And I could just see them going straight on till morning. Oh, my God. The third movement is Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. And it really shows, I think, their relationship. Tink is such a sassy little gal. And she even says naughty words in the book. I don't know if more little people know that.
Oh, I read the book to him, so yes, he's had it all.
Yeah. So all her, you gave me, this is the other thing that was so crazy about you, is I said, well, you know, sometimes she gets angry, and sometimes she gets happy, and sometimes she's sad, and can you give me some different variations on the bells? And I think I got like 20.
Yeah, I think it was about that, yeah.
And we've used them all. It's just so crazy. What kind of bells are those?
Oh, well, those were actually a combination of chimes. And forgive the 6 years, but it kind of leaves me. But I did want to mention that you'll notice in that movement that Tinkerbell's chime sometimes breaks free of the music because of her nature, that she can be, like you said, sassy. And so I wanted to even capture that in the music, that she'll just start going off on her own. And the only time that she totally goes into harmony is when the Peter Pan flute is going along with her.
Yeah, and I just love the two of them together. And the fourth movement introduces the lost boys. And I just felt that there was this empathy about them being lost, the lost little boys without their mother. And I could feel the longing in this for the mother figure.
There is a sense of loneliness that is underneath the... and that I think that I tried to bring that across through the instrumentation and also in the kind of soft nature in which the playfulness is delivered. And the music, now the melody itself, I always pictured you can actually see them hill and dell going, playing around. Because remember, as Neverland is described by Barry, all the adventures are, even though they're quite different from each other, they're all close together, as is a boy's imagination. He can run from one place instantly to another. And that's what I tried to bring across in the music.
And I could see them playing with the Indians and running from them and hiding in their stumps and coming out and shooting slingshots. I mean, I just had... Just from your music, it comes from the book itself, and my actors, I got to say, are just wonderful, and you're going to just love hearing from them. But it's your music that brings it all together. It's like the glue to leading them on their journey. I love it.
Karen, I'm so looking forward to seeing what you've done with this, because I know that you create magic, and I like I said, I'm very excited.
I don't know if I create magic, but I know magic when I see it. And that's Timothy Clue, I gotta tell you. Let's talk about the fifth movement. The fifth movement is the pirate ship.
Yes.
Go.
Heavy bass. Lots of bass descending down and like the ship up and down on the waves and the water striking, and tried to mix the patterns together because, you know, this water could be coming up while the ship's plunging down into it, but always this relentless strength that's coming from it, and also the dark. This is the bad guy. This is the intimidation in the story. Peter Pan's worst foe, so.
Oh, and the pirates don't have a mother. That is the worst of it all.
Yeah. He doesn't have a hand either.
So. That's true. And they capture Wendy to be their mother. One of the things I talked to Adam about is, you know, we didn't, you know, really want to have a lot of gunfire or we have a little bit of sword fighting going on in the sound effects and stuff. But it was your music that said it all. We didn't need it. Because we had your music that told us of this danger and told us of the fight. And we have incorporated it so that you can actually see Peter and Hook and Smee and all the other pirates fighting. So, again, it's your music that you have found somehow. I don't know how you do it. I am just in awe.
The movement begins with very long strings being played out, showing the stress, the gauntlet has been laid. Hook is going to go to extremes in order to get Peter Pan's attention. And it goes into the fight really, as I composed that, it really had to play itself out. It was something that wasn't going to follow the traditional way I would compose the music, and you know the stepping up the approach of Captain Hook trying to get closer, and the wild flute play indicating Peter Pan flying around, and you know, I tried my best to bring that out. The sword hits done with cymbals and. And then, of course, the crocodile at the end, which was done with wood blocks in order to get that clock.
No! So. Oh, that's one of my favorite parts, is to hear that croc. He is just amazing because it's not the ordinary croc. It's, you can hear the... That's really cool. That's one of my favorite parts. So the sixth movement then leads into Captain Hook or Peter Pan this time, and that is your fighting sequence that you were talking about,
and
with
it.
The cymbals going whoa, and it's all very, very serious business. They may be playing, but it's playing to the death.
Oh yeah, because he's because this is Peter Pan's big conflict at the end of the story, and something that Captain Hook has been waiting for. And to write it, it actually had to be done with just a lot of imagining the scene, and then as the scene changed, trying to bring that to the music.
And our Captain Hook is Joe Balding, who you've worked with before.
Oh, yes.
And he's my go-to actor for all my books. I just adore him. And Peter Pan is my son Christian Chan, and Davis Bosley is Wendy, and those are my three main ones. And then I have Daniel Winters also as Smee. And also, Sharath Patel is the other composer that I have, and he composed the Peter Pan lullaby, and that is played throughout Chapter 7.
Well, I look forward to hearing his work.
Yeah. Very, very sweet little piece. But I want to go back to you going into the seventh movement, and that's the Return Home.
Yeah. In this movement, although the story is told by Barry, is Peter Pan has a lot of reluctance to get her home. I often thought of starting with the fairy dust covering the ship. In my mind, it kind of turned into a very peaceful, very, you know, you're going home, you're going to where your mother is, and having this return, I tried to bring out the warmth as well as the wonder of just what they would be witnessing as they took wing to return. And that's why the music also kind of does its reprise as the end, almost as memories of what had happened during the story.
I just love it.
Yeah, in fact, this is the reprise of Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. Actually, my favorite movement from the work.
On WOUB, if you go to WOUB.org, we're going to be having the complete movement on a soundtrack. What is it called? The Cloud? Oh, I'm showing my age. That's all right. I don't mind. I've been at this a long time, 20 years. So this is exciting. Well, I love your music, but we should talk about, too, that, first of all, before we talk about what you're into now, because I get to be a part of a little bit of what you're into now, but I wanted to go back to when we met, and we met in 2009.
Yeah, that's right, for Terry Pratchett's Weird Sisters.
That's right, and I got to play Nanny Ogg, and that's when I got to meet you, Dean Barker, got a hold of you somehow. I don't know how this relationship. He was the director at that time for ABC Players, Weird Sisters, and it was amazing that he said, "I've got this guy, and he's going to do music for me, original music." And honestly, that was the first time ABC Players ever had original music. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was your first.
Yes, you were the first. You were the first.
I hope I made a good impression.
Well, you absolutely did, because in 2011, I needed transition music when we took the Odd Couple female version to the Ohio Community Theater Association. And I asked you if you could do that transition music for me. And not only did you do the transition music, but you had music that I had an intro and exit as well. And I'm thinking, God, this guy is just great. And you won an award when we presented it, and of course, as director, I got to take all the awards, you were there to receive a merit for your music. They had never given awards out before, so for original music. And this was the first award that we ever received for that purpose. So we received an ensemble award, which was really cool, for music, unheard of. You know, so
it came as a big surprise to me. I when you told me about it, I was like, oh wow. I mean, the music was pre-recorded. That's very interesting that it would receive an award.
So. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that it could happen either. And it just blew me away. I was so happy. And then in 2012, Celeste Parsons, who directed The Taming of the Shrew for ABC Players, asked you to compose the music soundtrack for that as well.
Yes, medieval music, which I had done fantasy-style music before, but trying to do authentic medieval was a challenge. A lot of research, but I think we turned over something good. So
it was absolutely stunning. And because of you having done this music recently, last year actually, I took the staged reading of Love Letters to Okta as well. And I had Celeste compose and sing original music. And I would never have done that if I hadn't had the experience with you. So you have given me creative inspiration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she also won for original music.
Oh, marvelous.
It just seems like what goes around comes around. You give to me, I give to you, we give to the world. I'm speechless.
That makes good art, and I love working with a very talented artist. As you are yourself, I've worked with you several times over, and I've really enjoyed our work together.
Well, the newest piece that you're working on now, is the Pleasantville Experience, which I get to do two roles. I get to do Rebecca, which is
she is the
Iowa Jay's mother, right? And then Iowa Jay is the main character, Timothy's mother. Mm-hmm. And then and Emily Susan, which is Barbara's mother. But you worked on this before. You're trained. You've worked on the book itself. How long did it take you to get the book and the novel? And then you turned it we're working on the audiobook portion of it.
The Pleasantville Experience, the story, I say it's the inspiring of it in my head was in 1987. But I didn't get around to actually writing the book till 1994. And by that time, I had a whole set of ideas of this town, and I used one storyline to tie all these different experiences together to make it work into a story. In 1997, the book was completed, but I also write music. I also work with actors, and I thought we could bring this out even more as an audiobook with soundtrack, sound effects, almost that radio show style, like the Peter Pan. And so when I was able to also get you involved, I must say you actually changed the characters for the better. You made them even more interesting than the original thought-out counterparts.
Oh, shucks. Now, and so you've actually started the audiobooks a couple of times. It's been a process,
yes,
for you.
Well, because the nature of an audiobook and the size of the novel, when an actor has to be able to step out, they have circumstances of life. What it does is, in this case, it actually shoves the book back to the beginning. And we've had two goes at it, and with unfortunate situations, the story had to restart. But honestly, this third time, I'm feeling a lot more energy with it, and I'm really enjoying it.
Third time's a charm, you know, that's what they say.
We'll make it. We'll make it to the last chapter.
And you also have Magic and Potion, the musical.
Magic and Poison.
Poison, excuse me.
Actually, Magic and Poison is interlaced with the history of working with the theater down here in Athens, ABC Players. Magic and Poison was originally a music piece, 17 movements, almost an hour in length, and was composed to complement the Terry Pratchett's Weird Sisters in 2009. Two more works that's also part of Magic and Poison's, the production, a musical, was also part of The Taming of the Shrew. Now, the music piece was fine, but I was also inspired. Why not? Because I love fairy tales, and I love them dearly. Try to take portions and references of over 100 tales and try to make a new story of it. And so I made it into a musical, and we were able to put it on. I believe this year is going to be the fourth running of the full show. Like I said, bringing that creative story and music together, bringing everything that I can to make something real.
And that goes up when?
That starts in July.
So have you had your auditions yet?
No, the auditions are coming up in May.
Okay, so if people want to audition for you, they should go to your website, right?
Yes.
Studio@timothysclue.com?
No, that's the main website. This show actually is big enough that it has its own website now.
Oh.
So go to magicandpoison.com.
Ooh, magic. I'm going to write that down. .com. So, and how many parts are there?
Oh, man. You kind of got me there. It's always a challenge to fill in the cast, and unfortunately, I bet my wife would absolutely know how many roles are in there. But I do know that we got the best characters. I mean, Prince Charming is in there, Sleeping Beauty, Little Red Riding Hood, and all of them all tied into the story. Maybe not even bearing the exact name.
26.
Oh, 26.
I see your wife's.
I see. So, yes, as I said, there are 26 characters in the story and lots of music. And if you allow me a little blurb, there is actually going to be a prequel musical now made following the storyline that is referenced in the original musical. And that musical, I'm hoping to put the stage in 2018, and it's called Magic and Poison, The Castle of Flax.
Oh, well, I can't wait to see that now. And Laurie's your inspiration for all things.
Well,
I know.
Important part. She is the inspiration behind the love song.
Ooh.
And that love song led to the inspiration to write the musical. And the love song is in the musical.
You make me cry. Oh. So, I know you have been into lots of things. I also have down here Trilogy.
Trilogy, yes. Trilogy is a story of Christ as seen through his mother's eyes. Her life watching all that happened and her feelings as a mother, her fears, her sadnesses, her joy, all through the whole experience. And it is actually sung to one continuous music piece with one soloist, and that is Amanda Taylor Gay, who sings that, and she's this wonderful soprano, and yes, that work preceded Magic and Poison.
Wow! So, do we get to hear it? I mean, has it been recorded or?
It has been videotaped in certain portions. Unfortunately, there doesn't exist a full rendition of it. But the audio, because one music piece runs through the entire show, there is the music to follow. And getting to hear Amanda's soprano vocals in itself is a treat. That would be at the main website, timothysclue.com.
Okay. And just so that you know, Clue is spelled K-L-U-G-H. So get a clue, you people.
Yes.
This guy is really talented. So you produce music, musicals, plays, novels, you have your own little studio in your home.
Yes, I have a music production studio.
Yeah, go ahead.
I call it a music production studio because it's mostly built to, you know, give me an orchestra, give me anything that I want to play with all the tools in order to compose the music. And it also substitutes as or serves as a recording studio as well.
Okay. And you also are for hire, aren't you?
I am.
Besides if you have a play that or an audiobook that needs orchestration, tell us your specialties and what you can do for the world.
This puts me on a spot, makes me a little humble here because I feel a little reticent to go exploit and speak about all the talents at once. But really, that is what it's
oh,
about.
Do. I love
my,
it.
It's part of my dream. I'd love to work with other artists as well as create my own and music for hire. Just basically anything that allows me to be able to be inspired to make another music work, to make another story, to make another play, to actually share that experience with another creative artist. I really love the art itself, and so I'm always open to anything.
So do you have an artist that you would always want to work with? Besides me, I have
several.
Ooh,
who
inspire
myself. Well, first of all, I'm going to mention that there is my wife. She is often the strength behind the push of
the music.
That's
Lori Clue.
That is Lori Clue, and she's just like I said, the strength behind it. She's the push, and she's always been that way with me and my dreams and my life. I do not pretend that there is enough credit that can be given to her on that contribution to my life. There's also, and I'll mention them as I mentioned the man, and of course Karen Chan, other actors who
I paid him for that one, but that, go ahead.
who also loves the projects. I'll mention another actor, Denver Clayton Moore Jr., Rachel Kelly, and of course, I'm not going to be able to mention all the names because my brain's going to fail me on this, but there are many who have not only just shared a love, but they have inspired me just with their talents.
And we worked with Edward, too. I just remember.
Yeah. Oh, Edward Schwartz.
And yeah.
See? Now,
yeah.
Thank you for calling that to my attention.
Well, it's just because in your book, he has like 10,000 voices. So he's there all the time.
He is amazing with how many characters he can
too.
Come up to. And definitely worth hiring if anybody needs a voice actor. He is truly amazing. And he loves the Pleasantville Experience audiobook project. And
oh, you can tell.
He adds so much energy to
he
it.
He plays you, Timothy.
He plays my role in the story.
Yeah.
And yes, like I said, thank you, because that boy is near like another son to me. And
you got a cute son
in the
studio here, Sean.
And with me, go ahead and say hi, Sean.
Oh, you can go ahead.
Hello.
All right. That is the next creative artist in the family. He is already making video stories. He's very much into comedy, very witty and clever with his work. And also, like his father, he's endless. As one ends, he goes to the next. And like I said, his name is Timothy Sean Clue II. And he's not just a chip off the old block. He's a more polished and more refined version of the old block.
Well, the three of you are not only a beautiful family, but you're also a production company in itself, which is amazing in this world. And I love to see you guys together. I love to hear you work together. And even on Facebook, I love the karaoke.
Oh yes,
you guys do.
Any chance to sing?
Yeah.
Well, Karen, we live for what we call the dream, and that's what artists should do. We make the dream part of the passion of our lives, and we work on them together. We love them, and we help each other grow with whatever we do. So.
Well, this has been just a wonderful conversation, and I am just so grateful that you came out and that you gave your time and talents and without any expectation of glory, but I give you all the glory for doing this for me and sprinkling pixie dust on the world.
Well,
thank you so much, Timothy Clue.
Thank you.